From broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, powered by the SID Media. Pastor Mkandawire, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, thank you. How are you?
We are well, Mfundisi. Cannot complain. I hope you're good too.
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are continuing with the subject of salvation that we started early in the week. And today we want to talk about the verse that we find in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion upon him, and to our Lord God, for he will abundantly pardon." And so, Mfundisi, yesterday we talked about whose responsibility salvation equally is. And today we want to look at the role of repentance and baptism in salvation, and how are they interconnected, if at all. So first of all, let's understand what is repentance. You know, this Isaiah 55 seems to be talking about repentance. But exactly what is repentance?
Well, to simply understand what repentance is, it's sorrow for one's sin and turning away from it. That's what repentance is. So when you realize that you are sinful and you are sorrowful about it, then you are repentant. But it also means that you have to turn away from that sin so that you don't do it again deliberately.
Now, you are saying sorrowful, you know, you're turning away and sorrowful. Does sorrow have to be part of repentance? Or can't I just repent and then we keep it moving?
Well, yeah, you could just repent. But unfortunately, for repentance to work its miracle, you have to stop the kind of sin that you are repenting from. And so, until you see the sinfulness of the of that sin, you cannot have sorrow for that sin. You must see its sinfulness so that you don't do it again, so that you turn away from it.
I see.
So sorrow is a very important ingredient because it makes you turn away from the sin.
Oh, okay. That's a great to hear. Now, please do explain the role of repentance and baptism in salvation. What does one have to do with the other? Really, can salvation happen without repentance?
So, pardon me. There was some noise here that disturbed me. Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, I'm saying if you could please help explain the role of repentance and baptism in salvation. What does one have to do with the other?
So the role of repentance in salvation.
Yeah, repentance and baptism in salvation, yes.
Mm-hmm. So the idea is that one repents. And when we repent, we then get baptized, because baptism is sure that we believe in Jesus Christ, in this God who calls us to repentance.
Surely, Pastor, I do apologize for interjecting there. Surely one can repent without really having to go for baptism, not so?
Yes, very possible. Now, when Peter speaks at Pentecost, when the disciples were imbued with the Holy Spirit, when Peter then decided to take it up from the other disciples, the first thing he said to the listeners was that they repent and they be baptized. And so, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Your people over there, your background.
Okay, all right. I have control now.
Okay.
My apologies.
All right, that's fine.
So, I was saying, when Peter takes up the mantle and begins to speak with the audience that gathered, the first thing he says to them is repent and be baptized. Mm-hmm. Now, according to him, it is repentance and baptism that brings about the reception of the Holy Spirit. And so when one repents, you turn away from your sin, you are good. But for you to then claim the lordship of Jesus Christ, you must show it publicly through baptism, and then you receive also the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so baptism is necessary. Repentance will do everything that you need. You repent, and then you are guaranteed salvation. But for you to claim the lordship of Jesus Christ, you must be baptized into Jesus Christ, like the disciples would say.
Surely, if I repent from my sins and I say, you know what, I declare and I accept the lordship of Jesus Christ, and then I'm good to go, must I really, truly, truly go under the water?
Well, you are good to go. Now, because you are good to go, you must then associate with like people.
Mm.
You must associate with people who, like you, are good to go because they repented. Now, you ought, if you're going to associate with such people, because you're going to be living a life very different from the past life you have lived.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to associate with people who are like-minded, then you must show that you are like-minded yourself. Like John invited the Jews to repentance in the to baptism in the River Jordan,
mm-hmm.
so that they show their newness of life. So public outward show of, I have to move from here.
Yeah. Mm. It is now
so
where.
A public show.
Yes, go ahead.
Of your repentance is what baptism calls for, so that you can then freely associate with like-minded people. And so you do have to go under the water of baptism so that you show publicly that you are a repentant person who is, like you said, good to go.
So the show, if I show myself publicly, I stand before the church and I lift up my right hand, I say I accept the Lord in front of the public, that's not sufficient.
Well, it is sufficient. The question then is, why are you even doing it?
You want to do a public declaration. You want everyone to see that I've now changed my ways. I've got this new walk.
Yeah. And so because you have accepted to walk anew, the Bible then tells us that how you do that is when you go into the water of baptism. What that symbolizes is that you die to your old self, you die to sin, and you resurrect the newness of life in Christ.
Mm.
And so going underwater in baptism, now let me just say this.
Okay.
The word baptism actually means to immerse in water.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Greek sense. The Greek word that we use in the English actually means to immerse in water, to deep underwater.
Mm-hmm.
It means a burial of the old life and a resurrection to the newness of life in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a symbolism that baptism then assures us.
Mm.
And that is why it's necessary that you go under the water. You don't just say it, but you do it like Christ demanded of his disciples to do.
Mm.
Yes.
Right. Now, can salvation happen without repentance? Because remember, God looks at the heart, and the repentance may not have happened at that particular time, but he decides, you know what, I know it's going to happen in the future anyways. So can repentance happen without repentance? Can salvation rather happen? Because remember, some salvation is God really taking you out of a situation. Do I need to repent to be saved?
Yes, you do need to repent to be saved. Now, when God comes to meet with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there is no mention of repentance on their part.
Mm.
God comes to them because he is a merciful God. He reaches out. The Bible says the reason Christ came is to seek and save that which was lost, which is exactly what God did in the Garden of Eden when he came to Adam and Eve. Now, God came to them when they did not realize that they needed salvation.
Yeah.
But when God spoke with them, the reason God asked them, the questions he asked them, was for them to realize the sinfulness of the sin that they had done.
Mm.
No, like Ellen White says, that Adam and Eve thought that so little an act of eating from a forbidden fruit would not cause so great a damage.
Mm.
But it did. And so God had to show them that it did. And so when he asked them those questions, when he then showed them how sinful their sin was and cast the ground on them, then they realized the magnitude of their sin.
Mm.
And in show of repentance, they sacrificed the blood of an animal for the atonement of their own sin, because without the remission of blood, there is no. And so this is the ritual that they passed on to their own children, Cain and Abel. That is why we see Abel doing the same, because their father and mother passed it on to them. And so even though the Bible does not say that there was repentance on the part of Adam and Eve, we can actually from consequences later on that they actually did repent from that sin. And so it is impossible to be saved without repentance. So salvation cannot come without repentance. And so what salvation does is that it gives God our consent for him to save us. That's what repentance does. It makes us acknowledge our own sinful state in contrast to the righteousness of God. And so when we then repent, we give God the consent to save us. Because God can't save us without repentance, without seeing our own sinfulness.
Yeah, I think that is quite powerful. Well, Pastor, I do want to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Indeed, these are things and secrets of heaven that we are you are outlining for us this afternoon. And we are truly, truly grateful here on AWR. Thank you so much. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow at the same place and same time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And my apologies for the noise today. I was in a wrong place today.
No, fantastic. I think tomorrow it will be better. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Good day.
Good day.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
It is now 17 minutes before the hour, 4 o'clock, and of course, that is...